Father, we come before you and we just thank you for this wonderful day. It's a day to celebrate Jillian's 15th. And Father, we know that you smile down because she is one of your precious daughters. Nestor and Nellie are very proud of her, but I know you are just as proud. And I pray that your blessing would be over this service, this ceremony, and this entire night. As we eat later and we laugh and we have fun, I pray that you would take pleasure in that, in your throne in heaven. Bless us this night and bless Jillian for the rest of her life. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. My name is Tom Eubank, and I've known Nestor and Nellie and Jillian for several years. And I can tell you that it was a great honor for them to ask me to speak at this today. I've never spoken at a quinceanera before, and hopefully it won't be my last time. But I can tell you my wife is with me tonight, Cornelia, and it's a great honor for us because I was afforded the pleasure of doing some research on what the quinceanera is all about. It was the first time I had ever heard of it, and when I asked Nestor, he said, you know, you just have to talk to Nellie. So I did a little research, and it's an honor for me to be here, and Jillian, it's an honor for me to be able to speak. I only speak a little bit of Spanish, so I was very relieved when Nellie said, please speak in English. And my favorite sentence is always, despacio, despacio, which most of you understand, but for me, it's slow down, slow down. But despite my language shortcomings, I started my trips to Mexico in 1994, and I quickly became in love with the people and the culture. And through the years, I've had many friends in the Latino community, and I've gotten to know them. And especially here in the States, when they see somebody who's trying to learn their language, trying to appreciate the culture. So this, for me, is a great honor. Being a pastor at a small fellowship up in Jasper, Georgia, where there's not too many people, we have a very small group, maybe 30 people. I started studying the Hebrew culture because our Messiah is Hebrew. And as I started to study certain things about the Hebrew culture, I noticed that there's some similarities in what the Hebrews celebrate as a bat mitzvah for the young ladies. Very similar, and we're going to talk about that at the close of the ceremony today. I also, at the request of Nellie, want to explain to you that Jesus' real name that was given to him in Hebrew is Yeshua. So as I use that today, I want you to know who I'm speaking about. It is our Messiah. And I have no problem with the name Jesus. I just got in the habit of using his given name when I learned it 4 years ago. Today's discussion and Nellie's request is going to revolve around 15 Bible verses. And Jillian, I hope you will listen to me as a family friend, not as a pastor. I'm not going to intend to have these 15 Bible verses to preach at you, but rather to encourage you and to hopefully have a small impact on your life. The first verse is going to be Exodus 20, 2 through 3, and it says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. This first command basically says in simple English, keep God first. Put him first in your life, and everything else will fall into place. It may seem like a simple thing, but when you put God first in your life, everything else kind of finds its way into order. This will be the key to your true success in life. The second one always gets a groan out of the people under 20 years old. So if you're a teenager, get prepared. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother. Now, it gets a groan, and the reason I bring this up is because that verse does not mean exactly what most people think it means. In the Middle East, and in particular in Israel, there is something called honor and shame. And honor and shame is found in almost every country in the world except America. In America, it's kind of like, what can we get away with and what will we get caught? And honor and shame simply means that you conduct your actions, your speech, to bring honor to your family, to your parents. It's also what we're supposed to do to the Father, to God. We're supposed to live a life that brings honor to Him. If you make choices in life that are poor, it brings dishonor. Quite often, for fathers, it brings a lot of gray hair, but with Nestor, who's going to know, right? Sorry, Nestor. Nellie said it would be okay. But regarding the commandments to honor your parents, there was a children's Bible school teacher, and she was teaching 5 and 6 year old kids, and she shared with them that they were supposed to honor their parents. And when she was done, she said, "Does anybody know if there is a Bible verse that tells us about our brothers and sisters?" And one little boy quickly raised his hand. He said, "Yes, thou shalt not kill." Good advice for the little kids. Proverbs 1:8-9. It says, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." The reason this is so important is that in our teen years, and I'm not picking on you being a teenager, because we've all been there, our parents aren't quite the smartest people in the world, at least in our eyes. We feel like we can't wait to get out of the house because they just don't understand what we're going through. They're dinosaurs. They're old-fashioned, and they don't know anything. But you have to be careful, because sometime in your 30s, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go, "Wait, my parents were brilliant." At least that's what we hope for, right? But the reality is you still live at home. So here's the problem. I don't want this to happen to you, because I recently read an ad in the paper that said, "For sale by owner." And you don't want this to come from Nestor. Teenager fully equipped with rolling eyes, deep sighs, and sarcastic comments. Plays video games and can text 200 words a minute. No reasonable offer refused. The next three verses is going to shift away from your parents, and it's going to shift towards your friends. And I'm going to read three right in a row because they all tie together. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." And Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." And finally, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company will corrupt good character." So, Jillian, after you've chosen to make Yeshua your Messiah, one of the most important choices you'll make in life is your friends, the people you choose to surround yourself with. And there's an old saying that says, if you want to soar with eagles, don't hang around with turkeys, right? And I can see we have lots of young eagles in this room here today, right? But if you choose your friends wisely and you choose to follow God's instructions, there's no reason why you can't have not only a successful life, but have fun and enjoy your life. There's another saying that says there's three types of people that you're going to encounter. Those who will help you in difficult times, those who will leave you in difficult times, and those who cause your difficult times. Choose your friends wisely. Verse number 7 is John 15:14. And this is our Messiah talking to us. And he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You see, a lot of people don't realize that Yeshua, our Messiah, wants to be our friend. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not an oppression from God. He wants you to have joy in life. He wants you to enjoy this life. But he wants you to do it his way. The last part of that says, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. He also says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If I could throw in one piece of advice for myself to you today, it's that you can't have one foot in the world and one foot serving God. You have to choose and do it with all your heart. Speaking of the commandments, does anybody in the room happen to know who broke more commandments than any other person? Moses. He broke all 10 at one time, right? Thought I'd at least get you on that one. My wife's precious, and she's the only one laughing for me on that one. The next verse, number 8, is Psalm 16:11. "You make known the path of life. And in your presence there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And verse 9 ties in with it. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. The reason I brought those two up is too many people have bought into the lie that the Christian world is a boring world. The Christian world, we don't have fun and we don't laugh. You've been to some of our feast celebrations, and you know, you got to be honest, we have fun, don't we? In fact, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to draw people to us. And how can we do that if we're doom and gloom? How can we do that if we don't show the world that we can have fun? There is such thing as a holy fun, not only a holy righteousness, but we can have fun. Just make sure you keep the parameters in line with what God has instructed us. Learn to laugh, learn to have fun, and with your smile, people will be drawn to you, Jillian, and you can share the truth with them. Now, there's nothing wrong with growing up and maturing. That's a good thing, but don't be too quick to do it so fast. My wife often asks when I'm going to grow up, and I tell her never, so... You can get older, you can get out on your own, but you never want to grow up completely. And I hear that you're heading into the 10th grade next year. Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, for some of you, you can't remember that far back. But I want to warn you, the 10th grade has been a lot of trouble for a lot of people. But on the counter side, is there's many of people who have said the 10th grade was the best 3 years of their life. So you have that going for you. That'll sink in when you're driving home. Verse number 10 is Galatians 6:9. It said, let's not get tired of doing good to others. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And the reason I thought this verse might be fitting is because for the last several generations, it's not just the younger generation, we've become a we want it now generation. We're people. We've become a, we expect results immediately. Patience is something we struggle with. And quite often, people will give up when the blessing is right around the corner. You have to be patient because God has said it's one of the virtues that he treasures most of all. And also remember this famous quote that was anonymous. It said, I am patient with stupid people as long as they are not proud of their stupidity. Be patient. It will go a long way with you. Verse number 11 is 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. When the younger generation makes a commitment to do this, I am sure that just like your parents are smiling today, God the Father is smiling down as well. And I know sometimes you think maybe dad's forgotten how to smile, but I've seen him smile. He can do it, right? And I know he's very proud of you, as is Nellie. And I do want to touch on the purity aspect of this just one moment. It's not a popular subject in the world. In fact, the world has tried to convince us that it's not a value we really need to worry about. But make no mistake, it's very important in God's eyes. And the reason is, if you can remain pure, you will not be dragging painful luggage and baggage into your future relationship some 20, 30 years down the road, long ways. God wants you to stay pure for yourself as much as him. He knows the nightmares and the pain that you will go through if you reject this principle. But he also knows the amazing joy you will find when you finally do find your mate and you've remained pure. Listen very carefully, Jillian. This is basically your father speaking to you. Young men will say whatever they can say to get you to drop your purity, to avoid keeping your principles. Don't listen to them. The only thing you can trust in times of difficulty like that is the word of the living God. Stay pure, and 15 years from now, I'm sure your dad will be happy to give you away. By the way, 20? You're going to get a little bit longer? Now, I realize that marriage is not something your father even wants to entertain in his mind right now. But I did have a verse that I want to read to you because it's going to be important for you down the road in the future. And at some point in the future, depending on how large the dowry is, your dad's going to be happy to have you married, right? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Choose an unbeliever, and you will assuredly reap a life of anguish and constant struggle. But if you choose a believer and you wait for God to give them to you, you will have an opportunity to create a life together that few people ever get to experience." This principle can also be applied to your friends, and it can be applied to anything you do in business. Choose people who are like-minded to be around and to spend your time with. The 13th verse I have tonight is Psalm 119:9, and it says, "How can a young person stay pure?" And that verse answers itself by saying, by obeying your word. Purity will only come through faithfulness to God's word. That's why it's so important to learn God's word, to study it, and spend time meditating in it. The 14th verse says, Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a youth in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it." Now, this verse could be applied to you having your parents brought you up in the ways that you should go. But it's also important to remember that down the road, you too will be raising your own children someday. And I know you are saying right now, "I will never say the things my parents said." But someday it will happen. You will wake up and you will scream, "Help, I'm turning into my parents." It will happen. But when this happens, remember this wise saying from a parent that stated this a long time ago. It says, "I am not your friend. I am your parent. I will stalk you. I will flip out on you. I will lecture you. I will drive you insane and possibly be your worst nightmare. If necessary, I will hunt you down. But it's because I love you. When you fully understand that, I will know you have developed into a fully responsible adult. And P.S., you will never find anyone who loves you more than I do, Mom and Dad." And this quote is about Nellie, but you'll need it in the future someday too. A good mother loves her children, but a great mother loves her children even when they're teenagers. In the beginning, I mentioned similarities between the Kinsianera and the Bat Mitzvah of the Hebrew girls. A Hebrew girl, when she comes of age, she goes through a ceremony that I'm not really familiar with, but at that point in time, she is now a spiritual adult. She's responsible for God's commandments. She still lives at home. She still has her parents taking care of her as she finishes school, but she is now 100% responsible before God. In much the same way, you are a young adult now. You are no longer a child. And you may still be living at home, but you are responsible before God for your actions. For this reason, I suggest that you memorize the last verse I'm going to read for number 15. And it's two verses found in Proverbs that I think will do you well throughout your entire life. And it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So let me close with this. Jillian, no parent cares for you more than God the Father. And whether you realize it or not, he does look at you as his daughter. And he is very proud of you today. As is my wife and I are proud of you, and everybody in this room are proud of you. As you grow and mature, remember to trust in him with all your heart. And don't lean on the way you think in your own mind. Just trust him that he's going to take care of you. He will always make your path straight. And I will close with a very short attempt at a Spanish blessing. Agilian, encuentra la vida pura en Dios y sus instrucciones. To Jillian, find the pure life in God and his instructions. Amen. Thank you.